Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, I appreciate those of you who do turn up the radio when we're on from 1 to 4 in the afternoon. I'm Scoot on the air. Glad you're with us. Scatter showers around, but it's my understanding that this is going to dissipate. That means go away. Going to dissipate by late this afternoon and early this evening. Tulane kicks off at 7 o'clock at Yulman Stadium against Southeastern, and that game is going to be televised on ESPN Plus if you have that. If you're just tuning in, after just frustration over the last couple of months, and in particular, just frustration yesterday after coming back from a couple of days off, frustration with the callers who want to whine and complain that they didn't get enough time or they didn't get a chance to say what they want to say. Look, I posted some rules for calling into this show. It's posted on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page. So familiarize yourself with those rules. And I remind you that we are under no obligation to take calls. And we're under no obligation to take your call or to give you equal time. Whatever your opinion is, we welcome all opinions. But we're under no obligation to take everybody's call or to give everybody equal time. So that's just not reality in talk radio. But I think we do better than any show in the country in terms of allowing opposing views on the show. Because the conservative stations around the country that are designed to promote Donald Trump, that are dedicated to promoting conservative ideology, they don't let opposing views on, like we allow on this show. So just be aware of that. And again, if you want to familiarize yourself with the rules, post it on the Scoot on your Facebook page right now. Let's get to a couple of calls. Let's go to Robert, Louisiana, and Laurel. You're on WWL. Laurel, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon to you. What I want to ask is why is the taping happening with Harris and Walz, you know, with their press conference. Why don't they do it live? I just don't get it.
Well, I think, a lot of what you see in interviews with Donald Trump, those are taped too. And it's from a logistical standpoint, Laurel. For example, the person who's doing the interviewing, that person, there might be delays in an answer. There might be delays in looking through notes and looking for the next question. It's just a way to compress it all into more of a viewable video. They're not trying to hide anything. I mean, if we found out that they were editing out answers, that would be different. But I think this is just designed to create a smooth operation. You know, a lot of TV people are not like radio people. I'm prepared when I do video interviews. Sometimes I don't have notes in front of me. TV people are not all TV people are prepared to do that. And so a lot of it has to do with just the logistics of putting it all together. Ian, you want to add something?
Yeah. Look, Laurel, yeah, I agree with Scoot. I don't think there's anything they're trying to hide necessarily here. It's just a consideration that you have to make for TV. If Dana Bash wants to talk to Kamala Harris and Tim Walz for 90 minutes, but they only have 35 minutes of airtime available, then they'll pick out the things that are best for a primetime audience. And then often, but not always, they'll release the full unedited interview later online. So if you want to sit and watch every single conversation piece, every single question, them going back and forth on it, you can do that. But that doesn't always make for the best primetime television. So they want to put their best face forward, which means they're going to pre-tape it and show you the best parts. And then the rest of it you can check out later.
Yeah, and this is done with Trump, too.
Oh, yeah. He did pre-taped interviews all the time with Tucker Carlson and Sean Hannity. When Kristen Welker started out on Meet the Press, that was a pre-taped interview. And that was because her first guest was Donald Trump. That was all pre-taped.
Yeah. Okay. So no reason to be curious. Let's ask you this. As long as you're on the phone, what question would you want Dana Bash to ask Kamala Harris?
Oh, gosh. It would be on why Biden, and she was VP. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
She had to put her two cents in, I'm sure. Why they evacuated all those soldiers in such a short time, and 13 of them got killed because it wasn't right. It was like going, from the hip. And that's what I would ask. I want to know why they did it so irresponsible.
You know, this is not
that's
in defense.
That's what I would ask.
That's a good question, Laurel. This is not in defense of Joe Biden or Kamala Harris. But, you know, a lot of those things come down to what the military decides to do. That's a military operation. And, you know, it happens under the president's watch. But presidents are not necessarily experts in military operations. And so they turn that over to the military. The military is the one that decides, is the entity that decides exactly how to do it. Biden is not sitting there going, listen, I want you guys to do this. Or no, I don't want you to do that. We got to do this here. You know, it's really, I think those things are really done by the military. But is an interesting question. Let's go to Jerome in New Orleans. Hey, Jerome. Jerome, you're on WWL.
Hey, I'm still here, Ian.
Okay. No, I'm Scoot. You're on the air.
Oh, Scoot, how you doing?
Good.
Scoot, look, I want to tell you a story about Katrina. I was employed with the Orleans Parish School Board Transportation for Katrina, where all the school buses on Almanaster. And the city dropped the ball. Back in June of that year, we had, in conjunction with the city, we had evacuation exercises and meetings where we designated places in the city where all the buses would be taking the higher ground. We had drivers that volunteered, you know, to drive buses, evacuate people out of town with their family. All of that was planned. And then here come the weekend of Katrina. I mean, nothing happened. You know, it's like the ball was dropped. You know, 200 plus buses sat on.
Jerome, are you saying that the city didn't follow the plans that they had practiced?
No, they didn't. They didn't. We had exercises and meetings with the city where those buses would be used in evacuation of the city, where drivers, you know, the ones that they volunteered, well, hey, I'll drive a bus.
Mm-hmm.
And they could take their family, and they would put people on the buses and go wherever, Houston or whatever. The only buses that left those yards, as you know in the news, were the ones where people went hot-wired the buses and stole them, you know,
Jerome,
and drove them, you know.
What do you think happened? Why did the city not follow through on the plans that they had rehearsed?
Incompetent on the city leaders.
Yeah. All right, Jerome. I appreciate the call. If you're on hold, hang on. We're going to get to all of your calls. We've got some text messages to get to as well. They're kind of piling up. We're also talking, in addition to talking about politics, and I've got some new polling information. And also, based on the show yesterday, I can't help but ask this question: why are some Trump supporters, not all, but why are some Trump supporters such snowflakes? It's a blog that I wrote. It's posted on our website. You can check it out. It's at WWL.com. It's also posted on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page, and you can comment on it there. And again, I hope you'll become part of our big growing family on SOTA Facebook. Yes, it's growing. And I love those of you who are new and you're commenting on the comments, because there's some people who have been on there for a while, and they just kind of get away with saying insane things, and I don't want to be the only one commenting, so I encourage you to be part of that. So anyway, we're going to get to more of your calls, and we'll talk about that and the polls coming up. Since today is the anniversary of Katrina hitting 19 years ago, and the Hurricane Ida anniversary, which was 3 years ago today, we are remembering those times. And if you want to share a memory with us, or if you want to share a comment about how the city is either better or worse following those storms, the Oaken Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. And, you know, Katrina was devastating, more so because the levees broke, not from the actual storm itself. I mean, there was obviously storm damage, but the real tragedy came from the levees breaking. And it seems that the Army Corps of Engineers, there was evidence that the Army Corps of Engineers did not adequately do their job when it came to inspecting the levees. And at the opening of the show, I kind of went into a rant about the incompetence and the tolerance for mediocrity that we have, and this laissez-faire attitude that is great for the tourists who want to come here and party, but it's not good for those of us who live here. And there is this pronounced laissez-faire mentality. And weren't the Army Corps of Engineer personnel, weren't they going to lunch sometimes instead of inspecting the levees? Weren't they charging up big lunch bills? You know, and so this is all part of our mentality. And the other thing that, that is just so unbelievably hard to, well, it's unbelievably hard to believe, is one example, West End. West End is a microcosm for our mentality. You know, now the Army Corps of Engineers is involved in that property. Before, it was Orleans Parish and Jefferson Parish. So the two parishes can't come together and get something done. Now the Army Corps of Engineers is involved. I don't care who's involved. These three entities can't come together and make this right and do something to develop that area. There were people all over the New Orleans area who enjoyed West End. And many of you, like me, remember that you're lucky to be alive because of the partying that went on at West End. There were restaurants. I remember going to restaurants as kids. My son, who was just in town, you know, we talked about some of the places that he went to, Jaeger's and some of the places that were out there. He's got memories. Those memories are gone. Why can't we have that again? Well, we could, but these groups can't seem to get together to work out a plan, a workable plan. And then I hear things about, well, it's the insurance. Okay, well, I just went to Pensacola Beach, and I believe the storm that went through there last was Ivor. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but there was a storm that went through there maybe 10 years ago. Devastated Pensacola Beach, Santa Rosa Island. That area is built up better than ever. And after Camille, the Mississippi Gulf Coast built up better than ever. In a lot of ways, things have been building here and things have built up from Katrina and from Ida. But why do other areas do it better than we do? Why is there even more in other areas? They've got high insurance, too. I mean, they're right on the water. So it's just amazing to me that there's so much politics. There's so much BS. There's so much of this, well, you know, I mean, we got our lives. It doesn't really matter to us. So I don't know if we're going to do it or not. I mean, there's that attitude that is part of the city that has always bothered me. I mean, this even bothered me before I lived in other great cities around the country. But it bothers me even more now. I'm proud of New Orleans. I love this city. But I'm not proud of the laissez-faire attitude that does not allow this city to be as great as it can be. So on the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, it is actually noted that on this day 19 years ago, it was Hurricane Katrina hitting New Orleans that caused Fats Domino, 77 years old. Fats Domino was rescued from his home in the Ninth Ward because Fats Domino refused to leave. Also, another tragedy was the loss of Barry Cowsill from the Singing Cowsills family. And Susan Cowsill joins us on WWL. Susan, it's great to talk to you again. How are you?
Hey, Scoot. I'm doing just great, actually. Sorry for the delay in getting in today. It's been wonky weather.
It's okay. Look, I know this is a tough day for you. I mean, this is not the day you lost Barry. I guess it's the day you lost him. But the agony had to be in that you didn't know where Barry was at first.
Yeah, it was. Yes, this is always a rough day. Some years are easier than others. But with Barry, what happened, man, we were, I was out of town. My husband, Russ, didn't know it was coming. He was busy building a studio in our basement and hadn't watched the weather. And Barry stayed in town. He also didn't know what was going on. And his friend finally got to him and tried to explain to him he needed to evacuate with him and he wouldn't go with him. And my husband, once he figured out what was going on, he just kind of, it was an emergency departure. He was stuck on heading to Alabama. So a lot of crazy different things went on. But the unfortunate part was nobody was here to help be out. He was in a warehouse down by Chapultepec. But anyway, we were all out of town. He had left a couple of messages on my answering machine, which, as you pointed out, today's not the day we lost him, but it's the day that the air stood still for us. And by the time all of our cell phones were back up and running and we were getting the messages, by the time I had received Barry's message, and, you know, I'd left him one on my outgoing machine to say we know he's there and to stay put. And then we never heard from him again. And we went through, like what everybody did, looking for their loved ones, trying to put pieces back together. And around December, my brother Bob decided to put in some DNA. Russ and I had been out of the city for 6 months, and our kids were living elsewhere. And we had just moved back because their school was opening, Trinity School was opening. And so we got a place to live and off of Britannia, and we were starting a new school year. And it was, I think, January 1st, we got a phone call that they had actually found my brother under the Charter Street Wharf. And a couple was walking their dog, and they found him, which is really, really tragic and sad, y'all. But it was such a relief to my family that we could start trying to put things back together, accept what we already figured had happened, and move along. Yes. And as bad as it is, Scoot, so many amazing things have come from all of this that you have to question, you know, you wonder.
Yeah,
you know what's meant to be is meant to be. Go ahead.
And Susan, you were part of the council, the singing family. I mean, you guys had number one hits, and you were just a national.
Yep.
You're a national group on national television, national recording artist. Why did you decide to move to New Orleans?
A man in a band, a gentleman in a band.
A man in a band.
A man in a band. I met Peter Holsapple, Ray Ganesho, and Carlo Nucci all in one fell swoop one evening, and it was just over for me.
Yeah.
My girlfriend and I, Vicki Peterson of the Bengals, we were just kind of haunting around Los Angeles and ran into what was going to become the Continental Drifters, which is a local band from here. And I came here because I didn't want to. Los Angeles had been plenty of that. And I was only supposed to be here for 2 years, Spook. However, it has been 31.
And you're still here?
I'm still here, dude.
Yeah. No, listen, I love that you have made this this your home, and I love that you still perform in your Jazz Fest and you're, you know, at different outlets. Are you going to be performing anytime soon?
I am. I'm actually doing a covered. I'm coming back with. I have a series called Covered in Vinyl, which is I cover a classic rock album from top to bottom. Russ and I, have done over 150. We started at the Carrollton Station with Eric Orlando years ago, but we are going to be over at the Broadside on October 4th, and we are doing REM as our classic cover. And my first husband, Peter Holsapple, who was also in the Drifters, he was in REM for many years, and he's coming into town to join us and help us out with it. So it's going to be absolutely phenomenal. So I highly recommend it.
Listen, we're going to talk about that before it happens, so people know about that. And also,
thank
I
you.
Still think, you know, there are not many females who can do this, but you could do it. You could do a great cover night of Karen Carpenter. You could do a great cover night of Carpenter songs because you've got the voice for it, and not many people do.
Well, to be honest with you, probably 20 years ago now, when I first started this series, we did one. But it has been a long time, and so maybe we should bring her back out.
Maybe you should. But let's talk about the REM cover show on October 4th. Well,
okay.
I'll get with you, and we'll talk about it before then.
All right. Well, we always text, so I'll find you. You'll find me, yeah?
All right,
okay,
Susan,
cool.
I'm sorry that this day is, you know, the beginning of a sad memory for you, but I'm glad you had closure with Barry, and it was, you know, so sad that you didn't know what happened to him, and then finally in the end you know sometime later you found out what happened to him, and as
we
you
did
said, that
and
was
I,
good.
I got to tell you know, you called and asked me, and I had to think about it for a minute, so I really want to thank you for calling me, because I guess I needed
I needed to share, and I'm grateful. Yeah. I love New Orleans. It's my home. Barry loved New Orleans, and it's something to be remembered. And we all need to stick together and share all of our stories with one another.
Susan, it's great that New Orleans is your home now, and always love talking to you. I hope to see you soon.
You too, man.
All right.
Okay, man. I love you. Bye.
Susan Cowsill from the Cowsills. We've got some breaking news with Chris Miller in the WWL newsroom.
Yes, Scoot, the National Weather Service has issued a flash flood warning for New Orleans and Jefferson, Plaquemines, and St. Bernard parishes. Looking at the radar, the heaviest stuff is over New Orleans East and Chalmette. The Weather Service says 2 to 4 inches of rain have already fallen, and another 1 to 3 inches could come down anywhere in the warned area. So that's, you know, four parishes. So they are warning people to be on the lookout for flash flooding. Again, that flash flood warning for New Orleans, Jefferson, Plaquemines, and St. Bernard parishes through 4:15 this afternoon, Scoot.
And does it look like the weather is going to ease for the Tulane game tonight?
Hard to say. The radar is just full of red, orange, and green right now.
It's so pretty.
Yeah, it really is. I don't kind of like Christmas. I don't know if this is one of those things where as the sun goes down, then the storms sort of rain themselves out or not.
All right, Chris, we'll continue to repeat that. I appreciate that that information. So National Weather Service issuing a flash flood warning for New Orleans, Jefferson, Plaquemines, and St. Bernard parishes. So be careful. That means heavy rain, and be careful driving in it. Don't turn on your hazard lights unless you're stopped. I'm Scoot on the Air, and this was one of the huge hits that the Cowsills had back in the 60s, the Rain the Park and other things. And again, this was a tough time for the Cowsill family because they've lost one of their family members in Katrina. I'm Scoot on the Air, and we'll be right back on WWL.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This song is dedicated to some of our listeners. If this song doesn't apply to you and you're a listener, then don't take it personally. This is not all of our listeners, but, you know, after being away from the show for a couple of days and I come back yesterday, I mean, I'm exhausted every day when I get off the air. But I was particularly exhausted and just irritated yesterday by a couple of calls that just seemed to be irritated by things that we talk about on the show. And so, you know, the topics yesterday covered everything from, you know, New Orleans having difficulty finding contractors to do work because the Cantrell administration doesn't pay or they're delaying payments to people, to the presidential campaign. And typical of every presidential campaign season is the question, are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? This is not new to this campaign. Some of you might be young, and this might be the first time you're voting. This is not a new thing. This happens every 4 years. The question, are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? And the answer that a lot of people want is, no, man, my life's terrible now. It was better when so-and-so was president. And that came up yesterday on the show. One of the common points that has been made is that inflation is hurting people. And I understand that. Inflation affects me. Not as much as it affects some of you, but it affects me too. Voting for Donald Trump is the only way to restore the economy and bring the inflation level down to where Americans can deal with it, to where it's better. That's the belief of a lot of people. So I posed the question on the air, how is your life better under President Trump? When he was president before, how's your life better? Or how was your life better then? And I asked listeners to be specific. I also wanted to know exactly what Trump was going to do to cut inflation and restore the economy if he's elected in November. One caller named Joe, who's become a regular caller, and he's antagonistic, he brought up the border and all the people coming across the border. That's the main problem that he sees. For the record, I am consistently talking about the crisis at the border. It was a crisis when Trump was president. I was here talking about that then. And the situation has even gotten worse under Biden. So the border has been a crisis for a long, long time. Since my question was specifically about how lives were better under Trump, I asked the caller, Joe, if he had ever come in contact with an illegal immigrant. to which Joe answered, no. Joe brought up that Americans have been killed by illegals, and I told him, that's horrible, and it is. But I reminded him that all the Americans killing American citizens it's a much greater chance that you're going to be killed by an American than illegal immigrant, but that doesn't seem to bother people like Joe as much as if it's an illegal immigrant. Maybe we can argue that Americans don't belong, that some Americans don't even belong in America, but they're here and they kill people. So in the end, Joe was frustrated with me and really didn't have anything specific about his life and how much better it was under Trump, but he believes it was, so that's good enough for him. But Joe made the comment that he hoped that after a few days off, I would have returned with a brain that was thinking in the right direction. Well, I think my brain is always thinking in the right direction. Another caller, Julie, who also has become a regular, very antagonistic caller, she wanted to answer the question, and she answered the question with a list of specifics. Julie said that she was able to build a retirement home at 2.9% interest when Trump was president. She was able to buy groceries without using her credit card, and now she's using her credit card to buy groceries under the Biden administration. She also is worried that America is no longer number one in the world, and of course that's an opinion. And then she said she's concerned that her daughter cannot buy a house right now. Well, I mentioned to Julie that the housing market is down right now, and interest rates have a lot to do with that. Because the economy is improving, the feds may change the interest rate next month. So we'll see what happens. But I mentioned to Julie that, you know, I mean, I mentioned after the conversation because it occurred to me that if I had a retirement home and my daughter couldn't buy a home, I'd give my retirement home to my daughter. I mean, I have a son, so I would do that for my son. As far as inflation is concerned, I asked her, what is she giving up because of inflation? And she said, nothing. She's just charging her groceries on her credit card. I'm not an accountant, but I don't think that's a good idea. And I mentioned that if consumers continue to pay higher prices, then what's the incentive for producers to lower the price of anything? Well, it's zero. If bacon, for example, goes up and people continue to pay the producers the higher price for bacon, why would they ever lower the price? It's simple supply and demand. So, you know, there were some interesting things about those calls. Also, under Harris, Kamala Harris is offering a $25,000 bonus for a down payment for first-time homebuyers. But I'm sure that that caller is not going to have her daughter vote for Kamala Harris, even if Kamala Harris is going to give her $25,000. So, you know, again, much of what is talked about on the show is jaded by politics. So there are callers and there are defenders of callers who somehow think they don't get a fair opportunity on the show, which is why I was motivated to come up with a list of rules for calling into the show. And that is posted on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page. And these two examples just, you know, reminded me that we get these chronic hostile callers that have been allowed to air their points on the air, but they get so PO'd and challenge me because, well, they didn't get to say everything they wanted. Well, you know, we don't have to take calls. So we do the best we can to get to as many people as we can. And I wonder why there are so many pro-Trump callers who are hypersensitive. Why are they playing the victim card? Like, oh, we didn't get to say all we wanted to say, or you're not fair to us. Why are the people who invented the use of the word snowflake to describe anyone who is easily offended, why are they using that mentality of, oh, we're the victims? They're actually becoming the snowflakes that they say liberals are. You know, as I've said, this show is an alternative to the strictly conservative-based shows that totally dominate conservative radio. As a registered independent and a radical moderate, this show offers an alternative to right-wing rhetoric that dominates talk radio in America. And I believe that I'm very fair when it comes to giving opposing views time on the air. So, you know, there are countless comments about Biden and Democrats and Harris that I've made on this show. And that is true. I have made negative comments, but because of the bias and the selective listening of some listeners, they don't hear the negative things that I say about Biden about Harris, about Democrats. But I do say some negative things. And I remind you that from 1 to 4 here on WWL, all opinions are welcome. Call in, make your point. And if you start off with an abrasive attitude, then you might be treated with an abrasive attitude. I will try to be above that, but I am human. My goal is not to convince people to not vote for Trump or to vote for Harris. That is not my goal. My goal is to just discuss the issues and talk about some truths that are not brought up about Donald Trump and observations that are not brought up about Donald Trump. And what happened at the Arlington National Cemetery is a disgrace. Donald Trump has made the point now that BJs, oral sex, that BJs are the reason that Hillary Clinton and Kamala Harris got a lot of attention early in their careers. Why would he even bring that up? I mean, I'm sure he has been the recipient of that many times in his life. It might have been part of the deal with Stormy Daniels. But why even bring that up? Now, you might not hear that on other shows. We're going to bring that up. I'm not lying about it. He brought that up. And I just think that this going low, this bullying mentality is something that a lot of Americans relate to and celebrate. But not all of us relate to it. Not all of us celebrate that. And Trump's vice presidential running mate, J.D. Vance, in defense of Donald Trump and the photo op at the Arlington National Cemetery, told Harris, if she's complaining about that, she can go to hell. Go to hell? Can it get any lower? Yeah, it can. And sadly, it might actually get lower than this. So, I wrote a blog about this. It's on the website, WWL.com. It's also on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page where you can comment on it. But the idea that BJs impacted the careers of Kamala Harris and Hillary Clinton. Kamala because she was dating a California politician, which she had every right to do, right? And Hillary because of what Bill got in the Oval Office with Monica Lewinsky. I mean, why even bring that up? And Trump is not reaching beyond his base. And if he doesn't reach beyond his base, he's not going to win the election, in my opinion. If you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, the Oakenard Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. On this day in 1970, this was the number one song in the country. And in 1970, when this song was number one, this song was speaking to a young generation that was very much against the Vietnam War and against the government. That young generation is today's baby boomer establishment. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. All right, on the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture calendar, it was on this day in 2002 that Pepsi pulled their commercial with Ludacris after Bill O'Reilly on Fox News bashed the rapper, saying that he was peddling antisocial behavior. And Ludacris was okay with that because his next three albums went to number one, and he got a role on the Fast and the Furious franchise. So, sometimes criticism from Bill O'Reilly was a positive thing. Let's get to some of your calls. Let's go to Terry in Slidell. Hey, Terry, welcome to WWL.
Hey, good afternoon, Scoot. You are so pro Trump, I cannot believe it, man. You want Trump to win. I know it.
You know it.
I'm being hooked. I know it. Let me tell you this, Scoop. I got a couple of things to say, so give me a second. First of all, if Trump loses, this is going to go on for 4 or 5 more years. It's not going to end. It's never going to end. I'm so tired of hearing about from both sides. This is not going to end. If Trump loses, he got cheated again. I guarantee you. Now, one question. If I had a question to ask for Vice President Harris is this. How can I get my $25,000 for my house, since I'm not a first-time home buyer, but I want my money that me and my wife scrimped so we could buy our first house. Our first house cost $39,000. That's a long time, 1978. That's a long time ago. But we scrimped and saved, got enough money to put a down payment. I also, in my second part of the same question, is this. Kamala, you and Joe want to give all these college students a rebate on their loans. Well, I'd like to get my $50,000 so my two sons could graduate from LSU and Middle Tennessee State University without a single load. So we kept working. My wife is still working. I worked 13 hours after the story about Katrina. When Katrina hit, I worked 13 hours a day, 7 days a week for almost 6.5 months. Okay? One day off every 2 weeks. So that's my Katrina story.
Well, Terry,
so
life, you know,
you're going to give some.
No, I understand.
Ahead,
I mean, life, you know, life's not fair. I mean, I haven't owned a home in a long time, so I'm not a first-time home buyer, but, you know, I would just be starting over if I bought a home now.
Hey,
but I doubt that I would qualify for the $25,000.
And I would ask you this question. If you give me $25,000, I'm from Louisiana. You can buy my boat. And that's all this is a boat buy. She is trying to buy people's boats, okay?
Well, they all do that. Yeah, you're right. I mean, you're right. It is. It is. It's a vote.
And my question for Trump is this. Donald, keep your mouth shut, and people wouldn't listen to you as much when you run your mouth over stupid stuff.
But
and he would be more popular.
He can't help it because he's such an egomaniac. And I have talked about this over and over again, whether it's Mayor Cantrell or Donald Trump, when your ego drives your direction, when your ego is driving you and everything that you do, you're going to get into trouble. Cantrell's in trouble because of her ego, and Donald Trump gets in trouble because of his ego. It's that simple.
I would just offer that, like, the reason that we're having a conversation about a one-time credit for first-time homeowners is that we're having a crisis where nobody can afford to buy their first home. However many decades it was ago that Terry bought his first home for $39,000, it was probably easy for he and his wife to buy a home back then. This isn't a policy that just fell out of the sky so that she could buy votes. This is a problem that we have in our country, and this is a thing that we can do to address
it. But what about me? I haven't had a home in a long time, and I gave up a home in a divorce, gave the home to my son's mom. So what about me? Why am I excluded from that? I should be able to get $25,000 too, but I wouldn't be able to get it. So I think Terry's point is that, you know, life isn't fair, but that's a reality, and there are constantly things that people get. When I was down and out, there were things that I wasn't getting that people were getting, other people were getting, because, you know, if you don't fit into a certain category, sometimes you don't fit the category of getting stuff for free.
Yeah, I said this on the air earlier this week. Not every government benefit is designed to go to every person. If you were a veteran of World War II, you benefited from the GI Bill. I'm sure there were people who would have loved to buy a first house with a big government down payment, but they didn't get that because they didn't serve in the war, or because they did, but they were black. So, you know, life's not fair.
No, but life isn't fair. I mean, that's something you need to teach your kids. I mean, everything is not equal. Everything is not equal for everybody all the time. I don't like that, and sometimes it's unfair to me, but that's life, and that's the way it is. And so instead of getting bogged down in complaining about it, you just have to accept the reality that life isn't fair and do the best you can with your life. But Kamala is trying to attract votes, but in her defense, she's trying to help people. Does it work? I don't know. Coming up in the next hour, I'm going to share some polling numbers with you. And we're also going to talk a little bit more about this interview tonight. Dana Bash from CNN is going to interview Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. What question do you think Dana Bash should ask Kamala Harris and Tim Walz? I've got a question. I haven't mentioned it yet, but I'm going to mention it at the beginning of the next hour. On the SOTA Rock Culture Calendar, this day in 1976, a British magazine, Sounds, published letters responding to Eric Clapton's racist rant at a concert in Birmingham, England, earlier than in the month. It said, "Own up. Half of your music is black. You are rock's biggest colonist." Eric Clapton over the years has been criticized for being a racist and for being extremely politically conservative. But yet I went to his concert anyway, because I didn't care about that. I wanted to see his concert, which, by the way, was very boring, and I was very unimpressed. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar on this day in 2004, this was the video of the year at the MTV Music Video Awards. Hey, ya! It was one of four wins for Outkast that night. One of the coolest events I've been to in my career was the MTV Video Music Awards. Amazing. All right, look, if you're on hold, stay with us. Just relax. I promise we're going to get to your calls when we come back. And also, let's start talking about some of the questions that you think Dana Bash should ask Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. And I've got one that I think is a really good question. I'll share that with you, and we'll get to some of your questions as well. Also, we're continuing to talk about the memories and what's gone but not forgotten. Hurricane Katrina hit 19 years ago today. Hurricane Ida hit 3 years ago today. I'm Scoot. A lot more still to come on this rainy Thursday afternoon, and we'll be right back with more on WWL. All right, on the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture calendar, it was on this day in 2002 that Pepsi pulled their commercial with Ludacris after Bill O'Reilly on Fox News bashed the rapper, saying that he was peddling antisocial behavior. And Ludacris was, you know, okay with that because his next three albums went to number one and he got a role on the Fast and the Furious franchise. So, you know, sometimes criticism from Bill O'Reilly was a positive thing. Let's get to some of your calls. Let's go to Terry in Slidell. Hey, Terry, welcome to WWL.
Hey, good afternoon, Scoot. You are so pro-Trump, I cannot believe it, man. You want Trump to win. I know it.
You know it.
I'm being hooked. I know it. Let me tell you this, Scoot. I got a couple of things to say, so give me a second. First of all, if Trump loses, this is going to go on for 4 or 5 more years. It's not going to end. It's never going to end. I'm so tired of hearing about from both sides. This is not going to end. If Trump loses, he got cheated again. I'll guarantee it. Now, one question, if I had a question to ask for Vice President Harris, is this. How can I get my $25,000 for my house? Since I'm not a first-time home buyer, but I want my money that me and my wife scrimped so we could buy our first house. Our first house cost $39,000. That's a long time, 1978. That's a long time ago. But we scrimped and saved, got enough money to put a down payment. I also, in my second part of the same question, is this. Kamala, you and Joe want to give all these college students a rebate on their loans. Well, I'd like to get my $50,000 so my two sons could graduate from LSU and Middle Tennessee State University without a single loan. So we kept working. My wife is still working. I worked 13 hours after the story about Katrina. When Katrina hit, I worked 13 hours a day, 7 days a week for almost 6.5 months. Okay? One day off every 2 weeks. So that's my Katrina story.
Well, Terry,
so
life, you know,
you're gonna give.
No, I understand.
Go ahead,
I mean, life, you know, life's not fair. I mean, I haven't owned a home in a long time, so I'm not a first time home buyer. But you know, I would just be starting over if I bought a home now.
Hey,
but I doubt that I would qualify for the $25,000.
And I would answer this question: if you give me $25,000, I'm from Louisiana. You can buy my boat. Hey, that's all this is a boat buy. She is trying to buy people's boats. Okay.
Well, they all do that. Yeah, you're right. I mean, you're right. It is. It is. It's
a vote. And my question for Trump is this. Tom, keep your mouth shut and people wouldn't listen to you as much when you run your mouth over stupid stuff.
But
and he would be more popular.
He can't help it because he's such an egomaniac. And I have talked about this over and over again, whether it's Mayor Cantrell or Donald Trump, when your ego drives your direction, when your ego is driving you and everything that you do, you're going to get into trouble. Cantrell's in trouble because of her ego. And Donald Trump gets in trouble because of his ego. It's that simple.
I would just offer that, like, the reason that we're having a conversation about a one-time credit for first-time homeowners is that we're having a crisis where nobody can afford to buy their first home. However many decades it was ago that Terry bought his first home for $39,000, it was probably easy for he and his wife to buy a home back then. This isn't a policy that just fell out of the sky so that she could buy votes. This is a problem that we have in our country, and this is a thing that we can do to address
it. Okay, but what about me? I haven't had a home in a long time, and I gave up a home in a divorce, gave the home to my my son's mom. So what about me? Why am I excluded from that? I should be able to get $25,000 too, but I wouldn't be able to get it. So I think Terry's point is that, you know, life isn't fair, but that's a reality, and there are constantly things that people get. When I was down and out, there were things that I wasn't getting that people were getting, other people were getting. Because, you know, if you don't fit into a certain category, sometimes you don't fit the category of getting stuff for free.
Yeah, I said this on the air earlier this week. Not every government benefit is designed to go to every person. If you were a veteran of World War II, you benefited from the GI Bill. I'm sure there were people who would have loved to buy a first house with a big government down payment, but they didn't get that because they didn't serve in the war, or because they did, but they were black. So, you know, life's not fair.
No, but life isn't fair. I mean, that's something you need to teach your kids. I mean, everything is not equal. Everything is not equal for everybody all the time. I don't like that, and sometimes it's unfair to me, but that's life, and that's the way it is. And so instead of getting bogged down in complaining about it, you just have to accept the reality that life isn't fair and do the best you can with your life. But Kamala is trying to attract votes, but in her defense, she's trying to help people. Does it work? I don't know. Coming up in the next hour, I'm going to share some polling numbers with you. And we're also going to talk a little bit more about this interview tonight. Dana Bash from CNN is going to interview Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. What question do you think Dana Bash should ask Kamala Harris and Tim Walz? I've got a question. I haven't mentioned it yet, but I'm going to mention it at the beginning of the next hour. On the SOTA Rock Culture Calendar, this day in 1976, a British magazine, Sounds, published letters responding to Eric Clapton's racist rant at a concert in Birmingham, England, earlier than in the month. It said, "Own up. Half of your music is black. You are rock's biggest colonist." Eric Clapton over the years has been criticized for being a racist and for being extremely politically conservative. But yet I went to his concert anyway, because I didn't care about that. I wanted to see his concert. Which, by the way, was very boring, and I was very unimpressed. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar on this day in 2004, this was the video of the year at the MTV Music Video Awards. Hey, ya! It was one of four wins for Outkast that night. One of the coolest events I've been to in my career was the MTV Video Music Awards. Amazing. All right, look, if you're on hold, stay with us. Just relax. I promise we're going to get to your calls when we come back. And also, let's start talking about some of the questions that you think Dana Bash should ask Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. And I've got one that I think is a really good question. I'll share that with you. And we'll get to some of your questions as well. Also, we're continuing to talk about the memories and what's gone but not forgotten. Hurricane Katrina hit 19 years ago today. Hurricane Ida hit 3 years ago today. I'm Scoot. A lot more still to come on this rainy Thursday afternoon. And we'll be right back with more on WWL.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.